Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
That's good. That's a good start. That's like that. I brought one stand. I was really going to pulpit of the full Spurgeon experience, but I thought best to behave yourself, so I'm going to use the stand instead. So, what wonderful hymns. What a great opening to a sermon to sing In Christ Alone. Fabulous. You know, just a wonderful, wonderful hymn. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are saved through Christ alone. Lord, we come to look at your word today. Father, may the Spirit just take whatever you want to apply to hearts, Lord, and just apply it, Lord. May we see ourselves in your word, and most of all, may we see Christ. Us in Jesus' name. The reading for today is actually from the Old Testament. We're going back into the book of Isaiah. So if you've got a pew Bible, it's on page 689. We're reading, looking from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. So Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, pardon me, which is in the pew Bible on page 689. A wonderful passage where the prophet Isaiah speaks about an amazing experience they had. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth, and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." When David asked me to speak this Sunday, I asked him, was there any particular reading? And he said there wasn't one, but was asked to look towards Easter. Well, Isaiah is a great book to take us towards Easter. Because Isaiah, although he's in the Old Testament, is very much a gospel prophet. He speaks a lot about judgment, but he also speaks of restoration. He speaks of the servant to come. And part verse here we're looking at, chapter 6 of Isaiah's book, is an absolutely amazing text, isn't it? It's his awe-inspiring vision of God. As we see his Old Testament encounter, we'll see it sheds an awful lot of light on Jesus' sacrifice and our need for forgiveness. We'll see themes of holiness, of sin, and of atonement. An historical setting of Isaiah 6 is also appropriate this time. The daily news headlines are full of what? Brexit. Yep, Brexit, 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 and for tea is more Brexit. It's chaos. Whichever side your ideas are on, we all could agree it's absolutely chaotic. Our leaders seem to be like headless chickens, and we're all anxious, nobody knows what's happening. So it's a very uncertain time. Well, any other time, I think we're aware of just how uncertain life can be, how hard it is to know what's going to happen next, and to know even who's in charge. We all seek leadership, want clarity, want hope for the future. Well, in a different context, Isaiah and the people of Judah were also in uncertain times, anxious times. There was change happening, big change. The scene set in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the year that the human king of Judah died, Isaiah saw the sovereign Lord God. Now, who was Isaiah? Was king of Judah. He was king for 52 years. That's one of the longest reigns, I think it's the longest reign actually in the Old Testament. He died in 740 BC. You want to read about him? You'll find him in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. He had an interesting life. He's quite a good king overall. He's made king 16 years old. For much of his reign, he did very well. He built cities. He fortified Jerusalem. He developed agriculture and a great success in battle. Under his rule, Judah became a prosperous country. And his people, of course, became prosperous as well. There were good times in Judah. What was the root of Uzziah's success? Well, we're told that in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. It says there, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So it wasn't all down to Uzziah. He's blessed by the Lord. And the Lord blessed him and blessed people through him. But Uzziah's reign ended tragically due to his own folly. His success behind him, but his attitude now changed. We're also reading 2 Chronicles 26. When he was strong, he grew proud. Growing proud is a very dangerous thing, especially when you're dealing with God. Don't ever take the blessings for granted from God or mistake our gifts for not from him. They are his gifts, not ours. Our achievements are his achievements, not ours. Unfortunately, Uzziah, I suppose, like Frank Sinatra, he started singing, I did it my way. In his pride, he forgot his rightful place before God. He tried to personally make a sacrifice in the temple. Now, that wasn't his job. He might be king, he wasn't a priest. God said only priests will make sacrifices. As a punishment, the law struck Uzziah with leprosy, and he spent his last decade in an isolated house while his son took over as joint ruler. Great start, terrible end. So that caused quite a lot of consternation in the country. But now Uzziah was dead. His long reign had ended. At the same time, to make matters even worse, Judah was under threat. The neighboring Assyrian Empire was getting big and powerful and hungry and eyeing up Judah. Was that why Uzziah was in the temple? Had he come to pray? Had he come to worship God at this difficult time? Had he come to seek guidance? Did he expect to hear from God? Do we come to church today expecting to hear from God? Do we expect to counter him in our worship, in prayer, in hearing his word? Do you expect to get his perspective on life away from what the world's telling us? Whatever Uzziah expected, he got an extraordinary vision, didn't he? He got a vision of the glory, the power, and in particular the holiness of living God. Verse 1 again. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Wow.